Our scripture reading for today is taken from Romans chapter 3, beginning with the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Have police departments decided to install dashboard cameras in their police cars? Well, one of the reasons is the fact that one of the arrests that they do the most frequently are drunken drivers. And at the time of the arrest, when the driver is so drunk, he may not realize how drunk he is. And so sometimes the driver who is arrested with the DUI or whatever, is in the mindset to fight this charge and plans to take it to court and so on. The driver's intoxicated condition fogs, you might say, his own ability to self-analyze. And in his own mind, he thought he was fine. He thought his condition was good and there were no problems and so on. He thought that he was in complete control of his mental faculties and driving and abilities. And when he thinks back on the incident, maybe even hours later or days later, he might still have that same view of himself, that everything was fine. He certainly has known other people that were in conditions worse than that who were able to drive, and his own friends might try to convince him that you should fight these charges. And so a lot of times, people in these situations, once they've been arrested, if that's their analysis of the situation, they will lawyer up. They will go and get a lawyer that will help them put together a case, plan to take it to court, and they're going to fight these charges all the way. And the lawyer will sit down with them and work out special wording that they're going to use to try to go against these charges. And the lawyer may even, sometimes they'll sit and have them do a mock trial to try to teach the defendant how he's supposed to respond to these charges and so on. But once the state comes along and provides that tape from the dashboard camera, things start to change. During the process known as discovery, once the defendant and his lawyer sit down and see the video, it just completely changes their approach. Once he sees how poorly he walked on that white line on the highway, once he hears himself talking on the tape like this, and once he sees how he fell off the side of the squad car, and once he sees and hears the attitude that he had toward the police officer and so on, the lawyer turns to him and says, "You know, maybe we ought to plea bargain this. The truth on that tape is just a little too much to get past for the judge. There's nothing left to say anymore. The evidence is just too overwhelming and too damning." Quite a picture for us of our relationship to God. Sometimes I can imagine myself as being a pretty good guy, being a nice person, and people ought to like me. Think of all the nice things that I do. I can come up with an analysis of myself that's pretty good, that shines pretty well in this dark world with all the evil that's out there. One of the problems of our fallen state of sin is that it prohibits a proper, true self-analysis of our condition before God. It inhibits us from being able to really come to the realization, the truth about our fallen state. It taints my ability to do self-analysis when it comes to my spiritual life and what God would think of me on my own. But boy, I can take and compare myself to a lot of other people in this world right now. I can sure shake my heads at the garbage that I see going on in this world and in our society. When I hear some of the stuff that David Letterman did, do you believe that? Can you believe that somebody would ever do stuff like that and have that kind of lust in their heart and so on? But the law says it's going on in me too. Bernie Madoff, how he lied to people, the greed that he had to continue with a sin the way he did and so on. Yeah, how many of us maybe haven't done it quite to that degree in society, but how many of us have those same things in our lives? The arrogance and the pride that we see in some of the professional athletes that just turns our stomach. Is that any different than the pride that we have that we're not like that? That we're not people like that in the world? When the actual law of God, when the actual tape is pulled out that demonstrates what goes on in my mind and in my heart, when God's actual law is held up against me, talk about damning evidence. There's nothing left to say in the courtroom of God's trial for me. St. Paul says that this law has been presented to us before God in his word so that every mouth may be stopped. That's a pretty harsh statement. Shut up in front of God. You got nothing to claim. Look at your life, is what it's saying. And this knowledge of our actual condition can only come by the state revealing it to us. In other words, by the authority of God revealing it to us. It's not something we could have come up with on our own, how desperate our condition is. God had to reveal it to us in the discovery process through the proclamation of his law. And now knowing this, Paul says, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. It's important for us to come to this realization now in this life, rather than when it's too late in the judgment at the end. I've had the opportunity a few times to testify in the Blue Earth County Courthouse downtown in a couple of different courtrooms. If you're ever to go down there, there are a few courtrooms that are very close to each other. There's a door where the judge can leave from his bench and actually go through some chambers into another courtroom. That's kind of a picture for us, too, of what has happened in the courtroom of God. There are two trials going on, and God is sitting as the judge in each one of these courtrooms, in each one of these trials. And in the one courtroom, you and I are standing there dripping in all of our guilt with nothing to say because the law has so clearly demonstrated all of our evil and sin. There's a whole file of it. There's a tape of our lives, and it is damning evidence. But God, the judge, has chosen to get up and to grab that file and to grab that tape and to walk out through his chambers into the other courtroom and has laid it down on the bench there and begins using it now in the trial of the man in that courtroom who just so happens to be his only son, our Lord Jesus Christ, true man and true God. And all of the evidence that would have crushed and damned you and me is now read and put as charges against him. And God takes the trial file from Jesus' own life and his tape and brings it now into your courtroom and opens the file and begins reading this file of his life as if it was yours. And it's just full of beauty. It's full of perfect love. Perfect love. It's full of just nothing but kindness and compassion toward people. In fact, even in the intent and in the thoughts that's going on in this man's heart, in Jesus' life, it just is beautiful and perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. And this now is read and displayed to you and me. This holy, spotless record is brought into our trial. Paul says, The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. And here's what the judge now says to you and me. I am going to credit you with this evidence. I am going to treat you like this was your life. And based on this perfect life over here that I'm now reading before you, you are free to go. You are innocent of all charges. And someday I'd like to have you come to heaven. Just believe this. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. I invite you to take your hymn book out and turn to page 162. Page 162. We will use today collect number 117 at the bottom of the page. Prayer number 117. Let's pray this together in unison. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are poor, miserable sinners. We know your will, but cannot fulfill it because of the weakness of our flesh and blood, and because our enemy, the devil, will not leave us in peace. Therefore, we beseech you, pour your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that in steadfast faith we may cling to your Son, Jesus Christ, find comfort in his passion and death, believe the forgiveness of sins through him, and in willing obedience to your will, lead holy lives on earth, until by your grace, through a blessed death, we depart from this world of sorrow and obtain eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.